All right. I appreciate the good saying tonight and the good testimonies. And it's been a good day for Brother Hall. I'm grateful for it. And I'm getting kind of like Dr. Green said, any day anymore is a good day for me just to be alive. When you get up my age, you don't have to get sick to die. You just die. And we'll all do that one of these days, whether we're young or old. But there's one thing for sure. Our times are in His hands. There's no question about that. And there's no need to worry about it. There's really no need to worry, because I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to escape it. Something you can't avoid. There's no reason to worry about it. You can't avoid it. It's coming. And somebody said, well, what if we're going to rapture? You know, I still believe that some way, somehow. In fact, I know that this old body of clay has got to die. To be glorified. Even in that moment, in that twinkling of that eye, something's got to take place with this old body of clay. And it doesn't mean a whole lot one way or the other. So Jesus tasted death for every man. He's already tasted her death. And He's taken the sting out of death. So there's really no need to worry about it. Great deal. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Numbers, if you would please, in chapter number 33. Numbers and chapter number 33 in the Word of God for this evening. And you find your place there. Let's stand together. And we'll read a passage of Scripture beginning in verse 51 of Numbers and chapter number 33. We'll begin reading in verse 51. Everybody find their place there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And chapter 33 and verse number 51. The Bible said this is Moses speaking now under the commandment of the Lord. The Lord tells Moses, said, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures, destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more ye shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers, ye shall inherit. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the privilege that's been ours to be here in the Lord's house this day. Thank You for the time that You've set aside that Your children can come together and worship You, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Magnify Your precious name. Do our best to exalt You and magnify You for what You've done on our behalf. Knowing, Lord, that we ought to be in hell, but You rescued our dying soul and brought us up out of the depths of sin, bathed us in Your precious blood, and granted unto us repentance unto faith. Now, I pray that You'll bless tonight. Grant liberty, I pray, to help save sinners, do a greater work in hearts, Lord, that's ever been done before. Comfort those tonight that need comforting. Bless those tonight that are struggling. Those that are sick and diseased in their bodies, I pray for a healing touch of God upon them. I do ask You to give grace to the humble and bless Your people, and may Your name be magnified above every other name. And we'll thank You for those things that are accomplished. In Jesus' name, Amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want to preach tonight on the thought, things that vex our life, or the vexations of the life of man. Those things that just seem to nettle us and irritate us in the wrong way. And I'm sure you've probably never experienced anything like that, but I have. I'm not talking about necessarily big things. Sometimes many small something, some small things can just vex the living life out of you. I told Miss Hall the other day, I said, I want to thank God that for the year that Brother Doug and Lisa bought me one of them little back scratchers. I never had used it much, but I developed one of those little tags back in here on my back, and I can't reach it with anything. I don't care what, I can't reach it. But I happened to walk in the bedroom one day, and I saw my little back scratcher. I just picked it up and put it back there, hooked them claws on there, and I said, thank God for that back scratcher. And all that was a little bitty speck back there, but it still just itches the living life out of me. So sometimes it's just a little things, you know, that vex you and I in our life. Now, in the text that we read to you tonight, Moses is giving the people instructions, and really not only instructions, but warnings concerning their possession and occupancy of Canaan. When he brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that was God's purpose. That was his plan, was to bring them into the land of Canaan. And he did. And his plan for you and I is the same thing. I'll get to it in a minute, but Canaan's not a type of heaven. It's a type of the Spirit-filled life. But he brought them into their inheritance. And in that, looking at it in that light, we can say that someday God's going to take you and I into our inheritance as well. And that goes beyond the Spirit-filled life. Amen. You go to that place that we're going to dwell for all eternity with our precious Lord. And I just said this, but I'll say it again. Keep in mind that Canaan is not a type of heaven. It's a type of the Spirit-filled life. Before Israel could occupy the land, the enemy had to be driven out. And you know, before we can really occupy the life that God wants us to, until our heart can be occupied by the grace of God, I mean, till God has control of it, we're going to have to drive out. We're going to have to drive out those that would be our enemies and our adversaries. There cannot a one be left. As you face them, you're going to have to deal with them and deal with them in the right manner, the right way, and put them out of your life. You that have been here for a while have heard me a number of times say this, that when Israel crossed the Jordan River, they came out close by the city of Jericho. Really, they came out at Gilgal, and Jericho wasn't far away. But they wouldn't have necessarily had to have taken down the walls of Jericho. It would have been so easy for them to march around that city and went on into Canaan. But Jericho would have always been at their back. And they lived a life of looking over their shoulder at something that they had failed to conquer, that God wanted them to do, to overcome. And you know, you and I, we face sin in our life. Unless we learn to conquer that sin or overcome that sin, whatever it might be, whether it's a large sin or small sin, whether it's just a little problem or trouble, whatever it might be, until we overcome that and conquer it, if we don't, it'll always be at our back. Right. And I'm going to tell you, what it'll do, it'll have you constantly looking over your shoulder. And I don't know about you, I'm not interested in what's over my shoulder except goodness and mercy. I'm concerned more about what's out before me. And that is the good grace and the glory of Almighty God. But this meant that there were battles to be fought before the enemy could be overcome. And there are battles. Many battles. We may lose a battle every now and then, the songwriter said, but victory has already been won. Amen. And there's no question, the war has already been won. And, by obeying the Lord and walking in His commandments, I do believe that they were able to have that victory. And I believe that you and I can have the same thing. Amen. If we'll be obedient unto the Lord. I want to say to you, you will never have the blessings God wants you to enjoy by living a life of disobedience. You'll never enjoy the Christian life until you learn to totally surrender your entire being unto the Lord and let Him have His entire way with you and do with you as He so pleases. So many people today, they want to do what the Lord wants them to do, but they want to turn right around and do what they want to do also. And you're not going to make it, you're not going to be happy like that. I know a lot of people think they will. They'll say, well, I can do what I want and the Lord wants to do what He wants both, but it doesn't work that way. You can't straddle that fence. You've got to get in His way because His way is the right way and it leads to life. And that's right. And once the enemy has been expelled from the land, the people had to maintain a constant watch. You know, and so it is with you and I. As we fight our battles from day to day and overcome sin, I'll never forget when I overcome cigarettes, and I've told that story. And I thought I really had it made until the Lord started talking to me about other things in my life.
Yes, sir.
There was the television, and I had to get rid of that. And there was, you know, probably even gossip, and I had to get rid of that. And I'll never forget little old Lisa when we started going down at Brother Nolan's and really first heard about preaching against sin. She came out of her bedroom one night and had a big stack of Elvis Presley albums. And I said, honey, what are you going to do with your albums? She said, I'm going to throw them in the trash. Brother Nolan said, you ought to throw them in the trash, and that's what I'm going to do with mine. Hey, that's what she did with it. Now, brother, somebody said, now, Brother Hall, I don't believe we have to go to that extreme. Well, he said in verse number 52, he said, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places. In other words, the Lord said, anything that remains in the land that may be there for you to worship, to lead there, or that would lead you away from me into idolatry, you need to get rid of it. You need to get it out of your life. You need to get it out of your heart. You need to get out of your home. You need to get out of your family. I don't care where it may be, get rid of it. It'll haunt you and deprive you of the real blessings of God in your life. Now, because the enemies of God, we need to have a constant watch because the enemies of God will not rest, but will always be on the lookout for a place in our defense that they might attack once again and overpower us. And you know, that's the way it is with the devil. He's constantly looking for a place that he might make entrance into our life in some way that he can overthrow us. And it is with sin in the same manner. And generally it's by some deceptive way that deceives us, and we fall prey to that deception. And once we do, then we certainly can't have the power and the blessing that God wants us to have. But the enemy is always going to be there. You can mark that down. I don't care how long you serve God. I've had men to get up here. I've heard men get up and make the statement, well, just because you're an older man, God the devil won't ever bother you with anything about women. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say something. That's a lie. I don't know any sin that's in the world today that the devil will not tempt you with. If it's a weak spot, and generally, if there was a weak spot in your life when you was a young person before you were converted, that's the very place in your life that the devil is going to keep his hands on and do his best to challenge you at every opportunity he gets. I heard Brother W.W. Burns say one time when he was 82 years old, Brother Herbert Williamson asked him, said, Brother Burns, how old does a man have to be before he stops thinking about women? Brother Burns was 82 years old and never said a word. For 30 minutes, he never said a word. And finally, he looked over at Brother Herbert and said, that question you asked me a while ago, he said, I can't answer it. I've not got that old yet. And so don't tell me that the devil will not tempt a man with women or a woman with a man when they reach a particular age. I know better he will. I've read the Bible. And he'll never quit doing his best to deceive you and trip you up and attacking you in any way that he can. And if he can get his foot in the door I'm telling you, he's not going to pull it out. If you give him an inch, mark it down, he'll take a foot. If you give him a foot, he'll take a yard. If you give him a yard, he'll take even more. And when every time you let down your guard and let him into your life in any way, he's going to take more than what you ever realized. Sin is in like manner the same way. If you allow sin into your life, I don't care what it is. I don't care what. I could start naming you people in here and people I know that used to go here and they got rid of particular, you know, sins in their life. And for some reason or another, they went back and picked those things up in their life, and they're once again committing that same sin that they got rid of. I want to tell you something. Once you do that, you have opened up the door for a floodgate from the devil. I've had people to tell me, brother, oh, you're old now. Why don't you go on and buy you a TV? You're old, and you and Miss Hall need something to kind of sit back and watch at night and relax. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I have absolutely no desire whatsoever to put a television in my house over there. Now, my boy was just kidding. He was just kidding. But he acted like he wasn't. And he said, Daddy, he said, I got something out in the car that you need to take over and put over in the church. He said, you all need it in the church. And I said, well, what is it if we need it and you want to give it away? He said, it's from a giant screen television set. And I said, honey, I don't believe we can handle that over there. I'm not looking for that. But you know, people have got those things out of their life and went back and picked them up. And I'm telling you, if you're in that situation, you've really opened up the door. You have let the devil in the door. If you've got one and never gotten rid of it, then you're probably in better shape than those that's gotten rid of it and got it back. I'll say amen to that. That's right. And so you need to be careful, because the devil is always there to get his foot in the door. Now, Moses warns the people of their failure to completely drive out their foes. He says, those which you let remain, that sin that you let remain in your life, he said, that which you let remain, of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you. Shall vex you. Have you ever been vexed? I have. I've heard my mama tell me before, you got me so vexed, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. And I've been vexed before. So have you. We all know what it means to be vexed. It means irritated, agitated, upset. Upset in some way. And I think we've all had it. And the Lord said these things that we fail to drive out of our life, they're going to be like thorns, and they're going to be like pricks in our side and in our eyes. Now, what that literally means, the word pricks means a hedge of briars. And it means that we're going to be hedged in by those things that vex us. And it seems no matter which way we turn, there's always something there that's going to vex us. No matter what we do, there's going to be something there that keeps us disturbed in our heart and in our mind. There's always going to be something there that causes us to be displeased and discouraged and upset and out of the way. If you leave that thing in your life, I'm telling you, it will torment the living devil out of you. There's only one way you'll ever have the victory, and that's to get it out of your life, stand guard over it, make sure it never gets back in your life. And in doing that, I'll guarantee you, you'll have more joy and more blessing in your life than what you ever thought you'd ever have. Can somebody say amen right there? I know that is exactly right, what I'm telling you. Now, he said, pricks in your eyes. Pricks in your eyes. Hedged about by those things that vex you. No matter which way you turn, they're there. They're like a head. I mean, I don't care which way you turn, something is going to vex you. You ever been there? Friend, I have. Seems like no matter what I've done, I couldn't get away from it. It was always there. And so, they're pricks in your eyes. And our vision is going to be blocked. The Bible said, without a vision, the people perish. And if there's pricks in our eyes, if we're vexed until we've lost our vision, then the Bible said, without a vision, the people perish. You know, I believe that's one reason that we cannot look on the fields that are white under harvest today. And I'll get to this in a moment and say it again, but I want to say it right now. One of the reasons is because we're constantly concerned about these thorns and these pricks that are aggravating and tormenting us in our life. And we're just not concerned about the fields that are white under harvest, and we can't see them for the pricks and the thorns that are in our eyes. They've got us blinded to the truth of the Word of God. They've got us blinded to the fact that the fields are white under harvest. Oh, I know men say, well, people are not going to get saved. We're living in the latter time, the latter days. Well, that we are, my friend. But I tell you, I don't find nothing in the Bible that tells me anywhere that a sinner cannot get saved if they're willing to repent of their sins and call upon the name of the Lord. And the problem is with us today, being evangelistic like we ought to be, we've got thorns in our eyes and pricks in our eyes, and we just don't see the fields that are white under harvest because of that. That's right. Now, Satan can't blind your vision, but he'll block it. He can't blind you, but he'll block it. You'll have to look around all those things. I'm going to tell you, it gets kind of wearisome. Have you ever been at work and trying to do something, and like working on an engine in an automobile, Brother Joel, and you had to look around something that was there to see something that was behind it? That's what I'm trying to talk about. Hey, something was apparently blocking your view of what you needed to see. And what I'm saying, these pricks and these thorns are blocking our view of what we really need to see. And more than just sinners dying and going to hell, it is blocking our view of the glorious grace of Almighty God. We cannot see God high and lifted up and sitting on a throne because we're so caught up with these pricks in our eyes and these thorns in our side of those things that we have failed to drive out those adversaries, our enemies that constantly aggravate and agitate and irritate us. We have failed to drive them out of our life, and they have become pricks in our eyes and thorns in our side. And I'm telling you, hey, we just cannot see the throne of God's grace and the glory of God because of it. Now, we're always looking at the pricks rather than looking at Christ. We're always looking at the pricks rather than looking at the country that we can occupy. And I'm going to tell you, if we get some of those pricks out of our eyes, thorns out of our side, I'll guarantee you get a good glimpse of Canaan land. They couldn't, nothing in the world stop you from getting there. Amen. I remember when I got saved, and after a few years started going to Brother Nolan's at Bible Baptist, and God began to work in my heart and life. Wasn't long after that till God called me to preach, and I surrendered to preach and come to Rumsey and started preaching over there. Heard of WSOF radio, and the first thing I told the people told me about it, I said, I wouldn't have anything to do with that mess. And they said, well, why not? I said, I wouldn't have anything to do with something that's not built around the local church. And some of the people going to the church at that time said, well, Brother Hall said the local church owns that radio station. I said, you're joking me. So I had to see for myself. And sure enough, the local church owned that radio station. I started working with WSOF. I started working with Brother Clark. And I began to dig more and more. And God began to open my eyes to some great truths that I saw some things that I wanted in my life. I wanted the power of God. I wanted the presence of Christ. I wanted to see God do some things that I'd never seen Him do before. Now, I remember when I got off to Bible college, buddy, I'm going to tell you, the Lord began to work in my heart in a different way than it ever had before. And I began to lay this aside and that aside and this aside and that aside. I mean, I began to pick up some conviction that I never had before in my life. By the way, that's one of the problems that we have. We ought to have some convictions in our life and have some standards in our life that we once had that we've lost. I'm telling you, because why? Because of the prick that's in our eyes, amen, and the thorns in our side, and they're there because we have been confronted by the enemy, and we have failed to drive the enemy out of the land that we're to occupy. We can't occupy it because of the devil and his craft, and therefore we stay on the other side of the river Jordan when God wants us to get our feet in the water and walk the Jordan part and walk that we might walk across on the other side. Amen. Get into that land of flowing with milk and honey. Get into that land of joy and happiness. Get into that land where there's battles to be fought, but there's victories to be won. Get into that land where we have got to pray. Now, that I said got to pray.
Get into that land where Christ is all in all. Get into that land that we could be like Caleb, and after we've been there for 5 years and been looking at it for 45 years, still have enough grace in our heart to say, I want that mountain. I wonder how many in here tonight really want that mountain I'm talking about over yonder in the Canaan land. Amen. Come on now. Somebody help me out. Has the enemy's got you vexed in such a way that you care nothing about a Spirit-filled life, that you care nothing about the power of God, that we care nothing about our prayer life, that we care nothing, ladies and gentlemen, about coming to the house of God and being faithful in the house of God. Amen. And working and laboring and conquering the enemy that we might see sinners saved by the grace of Almighty God. See, our families enjoy the blessings of God. Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. We're always looking at the pricks rather than Christ or the country that we ought to occupy. We're always looking at the pricks rather than the church and the needs that it has. I won't say this. Now, I love you. Now, and I don't take this in the wrong way, because I'm not. But if any of you in here have got any second thoughts about the fact that we need a building back there, I challenge any of you in here tonight to get Brother Steve or Brother Joe just to open that door in the foyer and let you walk into that middle room. It is eat alive, folks, with termites. I'm not just talking about down on the floor. I'm talking about they have eaten plumb up into the sheetrock on the walls underneath the paneling on the walls. They've eaten up under the carpet on the walls. They've eaten it up. They've eaten out two before. They have even eaten up wires down in there. I'm telling you, they say it's eaten alive with termites. Amen. And it's falling apart. I challenge you to go back there and look at it. If you don't believe what I am, I'm telling the truth or not, brother, I'm telling the truth. And we sit here, and the problem is, we don't have a vision to do anymore. The reason we don't is because, we're afraid to fight the enemy. Well, we just got out of debt. Why do we want to go back in debt? Well, I got to ask you this question. We just got out of debt. Why don't we want to go back in debt?
Amen.
And I can say something else to you if you want me to. We've got enough land here that's been nothing but mowed. The grass, stinking grass, has been mowed for 25 years. There's enough land here we could sell, bless God, and build a new building debt-free if we wanted to.
Amen.
And all we've ever done is mowed the grass on it.
Amen.
But our eyes are not open to that.
Amen.
They're closed to it. And there's thorns on every side of us. They irritate our body. They limit our labors. We're occupied with what is beside us, our present tense things rather than what's before us. We're looking at the present tense rather than the future. Oh, there's nothing wrong. I know there's some things in the present tense we've got to look at. But folks, I'll tell you, we better lift up our eyes toward heaven. And set our affection on things above. That's what God said for us to do. Set our affection on things above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's right. We need to get a good glimpse of glory. Some of you in here need to just kind of tiptoe up and peep over a little bit and get a real glimpse of glory one time. I'm going to say, if you ever get a real glimpse of the glory, you won't want to go back to the low life that we're living in now. You want in the glory patch all the time. Amen. I like to get under the spout where the glory runs out. Amen. I like to be in the house of God when the Spirit of God is moving and working in heaven. I'm just not talking about running and jumping the pews, although I'm in for it if the Lord is. But I'm talking about seeing broken hearts and contrite spirits and God's people with a burden for those around us, a burden for their family, a burden for their loved ones, a burden for souls, and a burden to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of us in here have got, that the enemy has so blinded us and irritated us that we don't even have a burden to be Christ-like anymore. We're settled and satisfied with being what we are. Paul said, Lord, press toward that mark. Lord, keep on pushing. Now, that's right. With pricks and thorns, we're constantly occupied with those things that vex us.
and become negligent in areas of blessing. John 16:33, the Bible said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Now, like in that definition, that word vex, and I'm just hurrying. It means to make angry by little provocations. You ever ducked that way? Just one little thing hits you, and you get a little upset. Then something else will pick at you, and it's almost like mosquito bite. Son, I sat down at Brother Chuck's and Miss Sue Ann's one day, me and Brother Joel did. Now I'm telling you, I sat down with a crossbow, and I told him when we left there, I said, "If I ever hunt down here again, I'm going to have to hunt out of a Sherman tank." Son, I'm telling you, I said, "These mosquitoes down here, buddy, they must have biter wings on them, 6-7 inches long." I said, "I'm telling you, I'm serious." Brother Joel said, "Well, why didn't you come on down?" I said, "I was ready to leave 5 minutes after I got here." I said, "I wish I'd noticed." I said, "We'd have been gone." You know, so I said, "How come?" "Because of those little things that were pricking me. And I'm going to say they were called mosquitoes, but they were very small, but they were about to eat me alive. I couldn't get anything done for me. You think I'm going to kill a deer, a turkey doing this? You ain't going to kill nothing like that. No. That means to make angry little by little. Now I'm going to tell you, before I left down there, I said, "Them little egg suckers, if I had enough dynamite, I'd dynamite this whole country down in here with them. I'd get them. I'd get even with them. That's God. That's right." You know what they do? They make you angry. Does it not? That's what the devil wants. He wants to vex you enough with sin that you can get angry, that you can lose your cool, that you can get mad, that husband and wife can get mad at one another, that families can have fallen out. He wants that. And he'll keep pecking and pecking and pulling and plucking as much as he can. That's right. It means to make angry little by little. It means to irritate. I mean, like poison ivy. Late at night, poison ivy comes creeping around, buddy. You wake up the next morning and it's there. And then you just scratch and here and there. And it just keeps irritating and itching and scratching. That's right. It means to plague. It means to torment. It means to harass. It means to disturb. It means to disgust or agitate. It means to fret. It means to trouble or distress. And that's, the Lord said, if you don't put these things out, people out of the land, those things that you let remain, He said, they're going to be like, if you don't drive them out, the inhabitants out of this land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them which shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. That's right. Now, I want to mention a few things. When you're vexed, you lose your peace. John 14:27 said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." When you're vexed, not only do you lose your peace, but you have a lack of rest. Paul said in Hebrews 4:3, "For we which have to believe do enter into a rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished before the foundation of the world." And Hebrews 4:1 said, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of." Then there's a lack of spirit control. The Bible said a man that hadn't hit no spirit over, said he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And that day, you get vexed, you're that way. And they come. The tide comes rolling in. I want to mention real quickly some illustrations and I'm done. Those things that vex us. I thought about that Shunammite woman. There was a Shunammite woman in the days of Elisha. And she never had a child. And Elisha told his prophet, told his servant, said, "You go find out what that woman wants." She said, he came back and said, she said she don't need anything. But said, Elisha said, "Well, what does she want?" He said, "Well, she don't have any children." And I said, "You go tell her about this time, in the time of women, she'll conceive and bear a son." And so Gehazi went and told her that. And she said, don't lie to your handmaid. I don't want to be lied to. But as sure as the world stands, sure as the world is, there came a time in her life when she conceived and bare a child. But as the years went by, that child took sick and died. You know what happened that way? That woman got worried over that child. Her soul was worried. She was vexed. If I can put it this way, let me read what it says. And when she came to the man of God, when she left to go to Elisha, to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed," and said, "within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me." Now there's a woman that had a little boy. God gave her a boy, a son, and she lost that son. And she became vexed about it. She was irritated and agitated. She went to the right place. She went to the man of God. She went and called for the man of God because she was worried. The man of God told Gehazi, said, "You take my staff and you go lay my staff upon the face of that child. And if any man greets you in a way, don't salute him. And hey, don't, if a man salutes you, don't salute him back. But take this staff and lay it upon the face of that child." And he took that staff. The Bible said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He knew to send something there that would comfort that little boy and comfort that woman. When Elisha got there, he took the problem to the closet of prayer. And the Bible said, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the woman, the child was dead. But Elisha laid him upon his bed and went in before him and shut the door upon him and upon the boy and began to pray. And the thing that vexed that woman was cured. That little boy sneezed 7 times, and that boy and the child opened up his eyes. And Elisha took the child out and gave it to that woman. Now somebody said, "What are you saying, Brother Hall?" I'm saying that woman was worried over that little boy. And she was vexed because of it. I want to ask you in here tonight, is any of you in here tonight worried about your little boy? Any of you mamas in here tonight, do you have any worry at all about your son? Maybe a worry that they're lost, that they're not saved, that they're going to hell without God and without hope. Are you vexed any at all? Are you troubled any at all? Maybe some of you mamas has got a daughter and they're not living where they ought to live and you really don't know whether they're saved in the grace of God or not. Are you worried any at all about it? Are you worried enough to go to where you need to go to find the help that is available for you? Are you agitated about it? Are you vexed about it? Seems like you prayed and they won't get saved. You fasted and they can't get saved. You've talked to them and they won't listen. You've taken them to the house of God and they won't do anything about it. Now I'm telling you, and you've just about come to the end of your rope. I'm telling you, when you come to the end of your rope, friend, there's somebody waiting there that can give you all the help that you need in the world, and his name is Jesus. That's right. I'm telling you that, hey, if it'll vex you. Then I thought about not only being vexed by, I thought about being vexed by a wearied mind. I thought about poor old Samson and Delilah and how that Samson went into Delilah. Amen. And Delilah continued to press him day by day, asking him wherein his power was at. The Bible said so that his soul was vexed unto death. That's, hey, that's pretty strong, isn't it? Vexed unto death. Pretty upset. Delilah looked at him laying there and she finally continued to press upon him and he finally got so vexed and so fed up with hearing her. He said, "If you cut my hair, I'll lose my power." Amen. He knew she had him. He laid his head down in her lap that night. Man came in and took the scissors to the locks of his hair and his power was gone. She said, "Up, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee." What vexed him more than as much as her? "The Philistines! The Philistines be upon thee." He said, "I'll just get up and go out as I have at other times." But when he got up, hey, he didn't realize that the Lord had departed from him. And they tormented him. Amen. That's right. Because he
failed to conquer that which came in his life. He failed to deal with Delilah and that sin way back in the early beginnings of the book. When he first met that woman at Timnath, he knew that it was sin, knew that it was wrong, knew that it was out of the will of God, and yet he wanted that woman more than anything else in the world. And then after he got her, he wanted more women and more women and more women. And I'm telling you, there is men that have been destroyed in their life because they cannot get their eyes off of a woman.
That's right. Old Samson got pretty vexed. He lost that hair. And he surrendered to the will of the flesh. He did. He said, "You cut my hair and I'll lose my strength." The Philistines is the type of the flesh. Delilah let him cut that hair. He had no power. No power. The enemy surrounded him round about. And when she cried out, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson," he got up to leave and couldn't. And he became a slave to his own flesh. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he ground at the prison house. And there he was, thorns and pricks, because he faced that sin in his life and he failed to face it. And failed to drive it out. And I say to you tonight, there's a whole lot more I could say about that.
Come on.
There's all kinds of sins of the flesh that we fail to drive out. Some of y'all in here tonight, I love you, but some of you can't get rid of them stinking cigarettes to save your life. And they're not going to send nobody to hell. But I'm telling you what they will do. They'll kill you sooner than you want to die for them. And I'm going to say, and every time you light one of them up, they're vexing you, and you know they are. As much as I preach against them, you can't help but to light one up, and every time you do, the Holy Ghost said, "Hey, the preacher just said something about them cigarettes the other night." You know it comes up in your mind. You know it does. The television. Every time you turn it on. Every time you turn it on. I know you say, "Preacher just said something about that Sunday night." But you don't know, a little bit of it won't hurt me.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you got it on, you're watching. The next thing you know, you're down at the theater watching. And the next thing you know, you're watching those kind of movies like those people watch Batman or whatever it was. I could think of another word for it, but I won't. Out in Colorado. Now I'm going to tell you, you'll never convince me that those sins that folks set their eyes on will not eventually, they'll rule and reign your life. And if you don't get them, drive them out of your life, they'll be like the inhabitants. They're in Canaan land. If you don't drive them out from before you, friend, they'll always be a thorn in your side and a prick in your eye if you don't drive them out.
Yeah.
I can go on.
Amen.
These other sins. People are stubborn. Amen.
Amen.
Don't want to do right. They think the preacher's a bully because he tries to tell them how they ought to live.
Amen.
A wearied mind. I think of a wicked heart. There was a man by the name of Ahab. A man by the name of Naboth. And Naboth had a vineyard next to King Ahab's house. Ahab wanted that. He went and offered money for it. Naboth said, "I can't sell my inheritance."
Amen.
And Ahab, like a little baby, went home and kicked his feet and pouted. Crawled up in the bed and began to pout like some little child. Just like grown-ups do today. If we can't have what we want. Hey, you know what it amounts to? Not being contented with what we have. If we cannot have what we want, then we're going to get all upset about it, irritated about it, vexed about it, because it's something that we have just got to have. Oh, he had to have that vineyard. You know what? He had an accomplice. And her name was Jezebel. And Jezebel said, "Ain't you the king around this place? What do you want to act like this for?" Said, "You're the king." Said, "Don't worry about it." Said, "I'll get it for you." And she did. She went out and set Naboth on high and had him stoned to death. And then went in and told Ahab, said, "Go out and take the vineyard." Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm talking about a wicked spirit.
Amen.
And he couldn't drive out of his life. That desire to covet and want what somebody else had. I'm telling you, friend. I'm telling you, we better be careful of that today. God help us.
Amen.
We don't drive them out. They might drive you out.
Amen.
He wasn't contented. He started to covet what was not his. He was contented with what he had, and it led him to sin. And it'll lead any of us to sin.
Amen.
And then another thing we need to drive out is a wanton life. And I hate to mention this, but I've got to. There's a story in the Bible about a man by the name of Amnon and a woman by the name of Tamar. And the Bible said Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But I'm telling you, inordinate desires, friend, if you don't drive them out of your life, they'll drive you up the yum-yum tree. You young people, listen to me in here. I'm talking about any kind of an inordinate desire in your life. You better get it out. You better overcome it. Now, it's a normal thing for young boys and girls who want to get together and marry and have a family. It's a normal thing to want. It's a normal thing to want to love a woman or love a man. But I'm going to tell you what is not normal, what is not right with God, is having that affair before you're married. I'm talking about fornication in the lives of young people. Now, brother, I'm just telling you that you think that ain't going to something that you're going to have to deal with, you young boys. You're nuttier than a fruitcake. And you mom and daddy's better set them down and talk to them and tell them about the birds and the bees. I'm telling you the God truth tonight, because it's something you're going to have to fight all of your life, folks. Even you adults in here, it's something you're going to have to fight all of your born day. I don't care who you are and how old you are. It's something you're going to have to fight all of your life. And hey, and the devil will see to it, brother, that hey, he'll prick you. Agitate you.
Right.
And he'll see to it that you're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's right. Amen.
Tamar had a friend. Amnon had a friend.
Yeah.
Hey, man, won't you just... Why are you so lean from day to day? Said, won't you just bring the lady over here and have her to feed you by her hand and do what you want to do?
Yeah.
And he did. And it cost him his life. But he was so vexed over that woman. Had to have her more than anything else in all this world. Naboth had to have that vineyard more than anything else in all this world. Samson had to have Delilah more than anything else in all this world. All right, listen, I could go on and on and on. But they're real. Now, God wants us to occupy that land. But I'm here to tell you, we're going to have to drive things out as we're confronted with them. Don't try to run around them.
Amen.
Don't try to turn your back and run in the other direction. Or don't try to go around them. I'm telling you, you can't do that.
Right.
I've said this a long time. If you run, you're done.
Amen.
Can't do it.
Right.
They will be pricks.
Amen.
And thorns. Pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side.
Yep.
It'll agitate, aggravate, irritate you all your life. You'll be worried, wearied, and wicked-minded if you're not careful. Let's stand together.